All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today for our podcast. We've hoped you've enjoyed the series we've had, conversations with industry icons. And we have one today, David Flood. David, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here, Eddie. Thank you.
So, David, tell us what your role is today with Intermountain Healthcare Systems, and then we'll get started with our questions.
Sure. I serve as Senior Vice President and Chief Development Officer for the Intermountain System here. We're based in Salt Lake City. We're a group of 23 hospitals at present. And I also serve as president of the Intermountain Foundation, which is a few years ago, we brought together about 16 foundations representing 22 hospitals at the time into one corporate platform. And I oversee that platform. It reports up to me.
You know, there are people who are dreamers in this world, and there are people who are visionaries. A dreamer is someone who comes to a conclusion while they're asleep, and there's no real agenda. But the visionary is a person who sets a course, who does this while they're wide awake and alert. And David is a visionary. I had a chance to sit down with him, I guess a month or so ago, and he got up on a whiteboard and kind of drew what he was trying to do. And I tell you, I left very impressed with his knowledge and his understanding. But I tell you what I'm more impressed with of David Flood than anything else, and that this is a man of integrity. And in an industry where that can be lost, David, the reason we're bringing icons to so many people around the country to hear their message is because they need to hear that kind of message. So I really appreciate you taking time to do this.
Well, thanks for that, Eddie. Coming from you, that means a lot, and I'll try to live up to that. So I try every day to guess as best I can, and so far we've guessed more right than wrong, but a lot of people have helped along the way.
Well, you know, Casey says, I've repeated this several times, that we build a great company on all of Eddie's mistakes. So
for sure.
So I'm going to ask you three questions. Just love to hear your thoughts and really help think about the audience and how you can help them. So number one, what is the biggest mistake you've made professionally and what did you learn from it?
Okay. Well, you know, as you can probably imagine, having done this now since the early 1990s, I could probably keep you all day and talk about my one does pop out, though, because it still lives with me. And I'll just give you a little background on it. When I was coming up through the ranks, I started in higher education, and I was with an educational institution, and they were having a campaign. So I got my first exposure to major gift activity. And as you know, in these campaigns, it's peaks and valleys. And they happened to be at a peak when I came in and asked me to steward some relationships, and people were excited about Alma Mater and the initiative that we were representing. So gifts were coming in. It was sort of getting to the public phase, and you know, I was there to represent gifts anywhere from, you know, $25,000 and above. And I lost my way, and I'll never forget it, really, because of one person who made an impression on me. There was a younger donor, somebody in their 40s, who came forward and said, I want to make a gift. And it wasn't a million-dollar gift, but it was to them. And I was so intoxicated with this new world I found, where you go and meet with people and they would give you money and I could bring that bounty back to the office and everybody would cheer, that I became cavalier. I became somebody that, you know, really wouldn't be a leader today in fundraising and philanthropy. And as a result, this person got a thank you from me, and I moved on to the next discussion. Well, I ran into this person later on, and they were sort of distant from me, but they were kind enough. But as I got into a conversation, I realized that I'd let this person down, that this meant the world to them. This was a big deal. They had stretched themselves, and all they wanted to know is that it meant a lot to the mission and to the organization. And guess what? I was the only person that could articulate that on behalf of the institution. And I didn't. I just said thanks, and I moved on. So what I realized at that moment, and I've carried it with me since, is that it's our responsibility to live in the moment with our donors. And I wasn't living in the moment. It's our job to bring them along with us, to let them know how important this was, how many lives are going to be impacted. So to me, that was my biggest mistake, but it was also my greatest learning opportunity. So it made me different. So I, you know, just saying this to you is sort of a tribute to that donor. And I hope they stayed with philanthropy and didn't have a bad taste because this young guy just got too excited about what was happening and maybe a little bit selfish. So I'll stop there. That's my biggest mistake, or that's the one that pops up most readily in my mind.
You know, that is, you know, I'm really glad you brought that story up because we've not had a story like that. But what it indicates is that it's easy for us to get jaded. And, you know, when someone makes a gift, they've made a gift. Size may matter in the long run of the institution, but to that donor, it's important.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you, that is a great story. I appreciate you sharing. And now the second question, which is also challenging, is what is the most important lesson you've learned?
Well, yeah, again, you know, just working, you know, lots sort of goes through my head as you ask that question. But I think as I became a manager or a leader of people, to me at that time, having all the answers was important to me. But I realized pretty quickly that having all the answers is not only impossible, but it's undesirable. I used to think that knowing every conceivable answer in any topic in our business was what was going to differentiate strong from weak leadership. So, you know, what I eventually learned was that this spoke, you know, more to my insecurity and my perceived lack of pedigree. You see all these people who know all this about philanthropy and fundraising, but only later did I learn that a lot of these people backed into this business just like I did.
It's true.
And, but I didn't have that confidence, so I thought I had to know everything. So as a result of having answers shoot quickly from my hip, I gave off an impression that was perceived as sort of high-strung, competitive, fast-talking, which I still am, as you can tell. That I was dedicated, but a bit unrelatable. And it's not how I felt inside, but it was something that I gave off. What I learned from that was I needed to step back, not expect that I would know everything, but that I could have access to any answer I needed by building networks with people like Eddie Thompson, with through AHP, AFP, CASE, all these, you know, great organizations that are out there. So I really had to make a transition myself from being a know-it-all to being able to get it all. And that's what I'm most proud of today, the relationships and the people and the information that's out there. And I learn every day. And it was really a lot fell off my shoulders, a lot of weight when I realized I didn't need to know it all. And sometimes you need to just look at your people and say, you know, what do you think? And
yes,
hear what they have to say. And you realize how much dimension they have. And I've been blessed to work with great people. And it just turned my professional life around when I was able to sort of come to that realization.
We will never be perfect, will we?
No way.
We just need to be open vessels. You know, another thing, something you said reminds me of a quote that I'd hate to say that I've crafted it, but I don't know where I got it, is that, you know, when I light your candle, it doesn't diminish mine.
Nice.
When I'm open to you, I benefit, we all benefit. So you've really characterized that well. So let me ask you one last question. I appreciate you taking so much time. We're going a little bit longer than I anticipated, but you know, you've been really successful and you've shared with me in the past your background, where you came from. What, and you've talked about your family, and so what has made you successful, David? Is that ingredient in you that's, you know, you didn't get where you are by accident. And I realize, I understand that no one gets to where they are by themselves. I understand that. But what has been the key to your success from your perspective?
Well, I'm certainly not the smartest guy in the room, and I do listen to people as they, you know, assess, you know, where I can do better and where I've done well by them. So I'm thinking that my secret weapon really has come from my parents. And I had two loving parents growing up, and great brothers and a sister who were just terrific family. But we were taught to live life in degrees of yes. And what that means is that if somebody is in need, you rarely, if ever, say no. You know, someone may ask you for $100 and you may say, you know, I can't give you $100, but I have $5, or I can give you a ride somewhere. And so that spirit growing up, not only did it move me into philanthropy, but it taught me that everything is personal in life. This whole idea of you know, it's only business. I ask anyone who shares in that mantra, to cross the line and be brave and be more personal. And it, to me, it's about the relationships I've built with great people I've worked with in the organizations I've been, you know, blessed and fortunate to be a part of. It amazes me, Eddie, that, you know, texting someone to say congratulations on your spouse's new job would surprise them, or that, you know, I can't believe you came to my mother's viewing or wake. And, you know, it sort of was a sad testimony to me as I started to get into management. And it was just something that I was taught, that you do these things, that we're human beings first. And as people began to relate into that, they then wanted to know more about you. And now, as you made decisions as a leader, they realized they weren't coming from a place of want. It was coming from where your heart led you and what you thought was best as a leader. And they would run through sheetrock for you, and I would for them. So I think, you know, personal trust, establishing that, spending the time to establish that, not in a false way, but in a genuine way where you really care about your people as human beings first, that's really the key to success in this business. We're a relationship business, but so often we turn into robots as managers and coworkers because we say, well, this is just my work life. I'm spending, you know, 10 hours or more a day with people here.
Yes.
It's got to be personal to be successful. So to me, that's what I enjoy most, and I'm hoping that's what shines out. And I've heard people say that that's what they like. So if that's what they like, then it's great for me, because that's all I know, because that's what I've been taught. Treat, you know, love people for who they are. And then the work stuff falls into line. And, you know, as I said, you can get answers anywhere to know the business and the formula. Bring that in, and great things can happen. So I hope that made some sense.
Well, now, for those who tuned into this podcast were wondering what they would learn today, they've learned the most important lesson at fundraising, and that is to relate to people. It's about relationships. It's not about money. It's about relationships. And you've heard from one of the very best in the industry. By the way, Dave was a Cy Seymour winner in 2019 or 2020? I can't remember what the calendar.
That was this past October, November.
Yeah, and he deserves it. He is. I really appreciate you doing this, David. Do you mind sharing? Now, you're going to have a few folks who would like to follow up with a question. Do you mind sharing your email address?
I would love to. It's david.flood@imail.org.
If you ever
have to hear from anyone, we're, as I said, you know, I want to rely on people to give me answers. And if I can be helpful, I want to definitely feed into this. It's be beautiful.
If you ever see that David is speaking at a conference, attend. You'll learn a great deal from it. And here's the, I think one of the things I love about doing this podcast again, David, and I know I'm speaking to the audience too, who've been listening. These are great people. They're not just industry leaders. They are great people. I mean, down to the core, they're honest. They're trying to do the best job they know how. They're sincere and focused, and that describes you too. And I really appreciate you taking time to do this. It means a lot to me.
I'm honored by that, Eddie. Thank you so much. And listen, I know how much you do for our industry, and I just want to thank you on behalf of all these people who are listening. It goes unsung, and you don't want it sung, but I know how much you do volunteering, helping so many of us in this business, including me. And I just want to thank you on behalf of all of us.
Well, I'm the most blessed man in the world, and I should be blessing others. All right, my friend. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. This has been a great podcast. David, thank you so much. And we look forward to hearing more about what you're doing at Intermountain. That's a great organization, by the way.
I love it. Great people. Oh my gosh, I'm so fortunate.
Oh, I'm so impressed. And I know they're fortunate to have you. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. And David, thank you so much. Have a great day. We look forward to the next podcast.
Continued success. Thank you.
Thank you.